This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, golfers, and welcome to the inaugural 2021 edition of Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne in studio with my original co-host, Kevin Frisch. Kev, is this year 6 or 7?
I think it might be 7.
I think it is 7. 7 years, Kevin Frisch and I have been talking golf on the radio, and every year it seems to get a little bit bigger. Never as big as what last year turned out to be.
Ooh, yeah, it was. Did anybody think that a pandemic could light the fire under the golf industry? Amazing. I mean, obviously there were March, April, May, we were all walking on pins and needles wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Where's it going to be? Especially us in the industry, you know, it's been my career, and I was wondering what was going to happen. And next thing you know, Memorial Day hits, the door opens, and the floodgates just start happening, and rounds just start going through the roof. People want to get outside.
It was happening in Florida. I think that kind of set the pace. You know, in Florida and Arizona, we heard that, you know, especially since the state of Florida was a little bit more open than other places, that golf was starting to boom.
It just became a
tidal wave.
It became an activity that golfers and non-golfers could get outside and do.
Yep. We talked about it a lot last year, too. The coolest thing, I think, about the whole golf boom, Kev, was families. You couldn't buy, you know, equipment was hard to get, period, but starter sets, impossible. Yeah, moms and dads getting their kids out on the golf course as a family. You know, mom and husbands and wives playing together again.
Right, it's been incredible. I recall a funny conversation that I had. I had a tech call with a guy from
Verizon, just one of those tech calls for your phone, and he lives in Florida, and the call was taking a while, and he just says, you know, what do you do? And I said, I'm in the golf industry. And he's like, you know, I took my kids golfing the other day. He goes, it's only the second time that I've been golfing in my life, and I haven't played in like 10 years. And he goes, we loved it, and we're going to go back out and play, and I'm going to get them clubs. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, here's a guy who hasn't played golf in 10 years. He's only played like a couple times in his life, and he takes his kids out there, and all of a sudden, he loves the game, and he's going to go play. Now, that has been happening across the industry.
Well, and another weird aspect or unusual aspect of what happened with golf was people had such more lowered expectations about the quality of their game.
Right.
I mean, you and I, we've been playing golf most of our lives. And you, especially as a competitive golfer, as a one-time pro, a very fine player, you're always going to be self-critical of your game.
Mm-hmm.
But so many more people last year played for the pure fun and love of it.
Right.
And you didn't hear anybody bitching about how bad their game was.
No, nobody cared. They were outside.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that the pandemic is. People want to be outside. You know, we hear stories about how kids today, you know, spend most of their time on screens, whether it's playing video games or on the couch or whatever. And, you know, like when we were kids, we were always outside.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden last summer, just kind of rewind 30 years ago, you know, before the technology age, and kids were always outside, and kind of that's what last summer brought. And I certainly hope that continues.
I mean, it was the perfect storm, and it looks like at least it will continue into 2021. Hopefully it is the resurgence of golf that we talked about. I remember doing shows in here 3 years ago, worried about what was going to happen with the game of golf.
Right, exactly. You know, my son who lives in Detroit right now, I was asking him, have you been able to get out and play? And he said, you know, he goes, I have to be honest, it's frustrating. He goes, you know, if I try to go out and play at like, just want to go out somewhere in Detroit at like 5 o'clock, they're telling me come back at 7. They're just booked. They're taking tee times all the way up to 7 o'clock.
Hey, it happened last year. You know, we've been members at Gaylord Golf Club for a long time, ever since I've been up here. And it used to be, and I live not far from the course, so it'd be no problem to swing out on a Sunday afternoon, get a quick 18 in. I couldn't do that.
Couldn't do it.
It was even on Sundays.
It was unbelievable. And I've heard, you know, and I've heard stories too, you know, about private clubs. You know, private clubs have been struggling for years.
Yeah.
You know, maintaining membership, getting new members, that kind of thing. And, you know, clubs right now, the membership play is up more than ever. they're getting members. People are wanting to join, and it's really fascinating and it's really cool.
Yeah, no, it's a game that you and I both love. I mean, basically, we started this radio show out of our love of the game.
Right.
We thought it might be interesting to some people. Lo and behold, it has been, surprisingly so.
No, that's great.
But, you know, our best year, we had expanded onto a whole bunch of radio stations, and our podcast listens are up. So it's just been fantastic. And I hate to say that the pandemic did it, but it's certainly the primary mover and shaker. But hopefully this is the resurgence of golf like we saw with Tiger when Tiger first hit the scene.
Right. And my one hope here is we start getting more into normalcy so our resorts can really – obviously the golf courses are packed, but, you know, let's get the restaurants for these resorts open. Let's get the meeting spaces back in play and so we can get that group business back up here and see all of that.
Yeah, I mean, from an industry standpoint, the other question mark is – will Canadians be able to come into the country this year?
That's an amazing thing there, because as much as rounds were up at a lot of our friends up here in northern Michigan, whether it be 30%, 40%, 20%, whatever, that was all without the Canadian business.
Right.
Which can be anywhere from 7 to 15%.
Yeah, I mean, we know how much it is for Boyne mm-hmm. and in Black Lake and some of the places here, so...
Well, I've talked to a few of my Canadian media friends, and they're just dying to get over here. Yeah. And oh, by the way, I'm going to take a little turn here. Jerry is wearing his UCLA sweatshirt today, very proud. They are the state of Michigan killers in this tournament.
Yeah.
And they got a big task ahead of them Saturday night, but they got some good players, and it's really cool, and I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we can talk about UCLA golf, too.
Well, we can, because Patrick Cantlay is one of my picks to be on the Ryder Cup.
There you go. Well, but I digress. So thank you. We'll see how the Bruins fare this Saturday. But, yeah, we will talk about the outlook for the upcoming season, both professionally, resort, and golf-wise. Also joining us on the program this week is one of our very good friends, Jason Gus from the Jason Gus Golf Academy, one of the finest teachers of the game, not only in the state, but in the country. So that's all when we return here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. I'm on the phone with Tim Coyle. And Tim, you and I have been talking a little bit during the offseason as you were a big assistance in getting my clubs from Titleist, my unfortunately specially ordered clubs because of my length, and getting them to me before I left for Florida. So thanks a bunch. I love them.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a pleasure. We're going through a lot of the same with our customers, and you know, kind of how, you know, Jerry, with yours, we were working directly with Titleist to try to get your specific clubs to you directly before you're, you know, we're doing the same thing with tons of customers. There's been a, you know, huge demand in the industry, and we're trying our best to set the bar realistically for our customers. We're still working our butt off to make sure that we can get them their stuff that they want as soon as possible, especially now that the weather's kind of broke here a little bit in Michigan. People they're itching to get out and play. They really are.
Yeah, and you were just telling me off air about a Titleist loyalty program.
Yeah, Titleist loyalty happens every year. They have buy three, get one free on selling balls in golf, the Pro V1, Pro V1X, AVX. You know, you don't have to do it personalized this year, but you can order it through us on the website, order it directly through Titleist, and they'll ship you 4 dozen for the price of 3. So that's a great promo.
That, no doubt about the best ball in golf. You are right about that. And I know as we're rolling into the season, you're going to be having your Masters specials coming up, and we just want to talk a little bit, like you said, about how busy the business is.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And when we were talking earlier, Jerry, it was Masters hasn't even hit yet. Normally, that's kind of like after demo days, that's kind of where we start. We look ahead to that, and that's kind of the more official launch for the season. It's been rocking and rolling here. We appreciate all the customers the last year have come out and supported us. You know, still a small business here. And yeah, the Masters is coming. We're starting free shipping starting on Monday, and we'll have some other goodies later on in the week once the tournament starts rolling on, you know, maybe in the form of a flash sale. We'll see.
Well, you can't beat free shipping, and like you said, people will be watching on the Masters and on your website and getting their games in gear for a huge golf season for 2021. We'll be checking in with you, Tim, each and every week here on Friday Face Off.
Can't wait. Love it. Talk to you soon, Jerry.
Thank you. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. Kevin, we just taped an interview with Jason Gust that we'll have a little bit later on in the show, but he mentioned jokingly about Bryson DeChambeau, and from a professional and tour perspective, he had to be the biggest story of the year.
Definitely. He is. He's kind of set the bar and what he's doing, and you know, people are following him. I thought it was pretty interesting, Rory's press conference a couple weeks ago. You know, Rory's been struggling, and he self-admitted that he's been trying to chase distance like Bryson, and it kind of changed the plane of his golf swing, and it started producing some inconsistencies, and he said he's going to go back to what he was normally doing. But so it's not for everybody.
I heard that press conference, and I was shocked. Because, number one, Rory's the second longest driver on tour anyways.
And he was probably the straightest longest driver we've seen since Greg Norman.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking when he did this. I mean, we talked about this a number of episodes last year about Bryson doing this and being the first one to really successfully do it. Every other guy who's tried to chase distance has ended up screwing up their career.
Right.
It has happened. There's a laundry list of players.
Right.
A lot of them are in the booth.
Right, exactly. No, we've got to give this some time. You know, I know he won the U.S. Open, but what he's doing and the way he swings at it, my question has been through this whole thing is it sustainable for the long haul?
And for now it is.
For now it is, but let's just give it some time. And there's more to the game than just driving it, you know, 380 yards. You know, next week at the Masters is going to be interesting to see how he does. This whole thing about rolling back the ball and trying to cut this distance off, I don't mind drawing a line in the sand right now where it's at, but you can't roll it back.
No.
There's just so many things that outside of just on the course, there's equipment manufacturers, there's everything. There's so much money in that there's no way they can do that right now. And frankly, watching birdies being made is fun, and it gets people into the game. But then on the flip side, just go watch the tournament at Riviera.
Yeah.
You know, go go watch the Genesis. You know, there's golf courses that you can set up golf courses where, you know,
it doesn't matter.
25 under is not going to win, and it doesn't matter. So this
whole distance
thing
doesn't matter. And you know, and Bryson had his problems with Augusta. It'll be extraordinarily interesting to see because, you know, DJ is in the top five of driving distance, obviously. You know, when he is dialed in and he's hitting fairways, he's the best player in the world for the last 20 years.
Right.
I mean, he should have won the PGA. He hit the ball better than Colin Morikawa. He missed every putt he looked at.
Yeah.
And he was still right there.
I'm fascinated about next week and what's going to happen because it's two totally different golf courses. Last fall, they played a soft golf course. Next week, the weather forecast is supposed to be high 70s, 80s. That golf course is going to get firmed up, and it's going to be completely different than what they played last fall.
Yeah, but circling back, you know, it was the last major that we played, and now it's the first major that we played.
Right.
So a ton of unusual circumstances. But going back to Bryson, you know, what did he learn? You know, he was coming off the U.S. Open win. He was the heavy favorite. I think he's still the favorite over DJ
at
Augusta. And he played horribly. That course, when they Tiger-proofed it, was Bryson DeChambeau-proofed as well. So we'll see what he learned. That's the interesting thing. The other thing about Bryson, real quickly, Kevin, I don't know if you saw. I mean, he can't play match play,
well,
at least not to this point in time.
Which is ironic because he's a USAM winner. He won the U.S. Amateur, but, you know, the thing with Bryson that I think is still inconsistent is his putting. And I know he hits it, I know at Wingfoot, he hit it great. He made a lot of putts, he made a lot of bombs.
Yep.
But I contended that, hey, if you played that tournament again the next week, he could have been one of the guys that won over and somebody else could have been four under. It's just.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, those Wingfoot greens were pretty hard, and he made a hell of a lot of putts. And he already won. Where did he win this year? He won another tournament.
Bay Hill.
Yeah.
He won at Bay Hill.
Yep.
You know, but I'm looking here. Right now he's 38th as far as
strokes gained putting.
Strokes gained putting.
For that distance, that's pretty strong. Yeah.
When you've got wedge.
Well, you know, but strokes gained putting, you want to get into stats. And I'm starting to get into stats. I used to hate them.
Yeah.
But the more I listen to Mr. Hairflip.
Mr. Chamblee.
Yeah.
Brandel.
Yeah. When you hear him break down all these stats, a lot of it makes sense. You know, Colin Morikawa hits it closer to the pin by 10 feet than anybody else.
Right.
You know, if I'm with 10 feet closer than you when I'm playing you in match play on every hole, guess who's going to win? Oh. And DeChambeau hits it a long way, but what is his four accuracy and greens and reg distance? I mean, it's not that strong.
That's my argument on that is that he's the longest player on tour, which means he's coming in with more wedges.
Yeah.
So technically he should be closer to the hole, and so his strokes gained putting should be, I think it should be better than that.
You know, that's been Rory's problem for the last 2 years. Yeah, Rory, now, he's, generally speaking, the best driver on tour, you know, length and fairways hit. And his wedge play has been substandard. He used to be a really good wedge player.
His wedge game is awful.
Yeah.
It's awful. And that's his one thing that he needs, whatever he does, he needs to get help with that.
Forget chasing distance.
Right.
He's doing that, and then he's working with Brad Faxon, and maybe his putting is up a titch. But when you're hitting driver wedge into 70% of the par fours, and you're walking off the green with par all the time, it's a bad look. And it's got to crush your confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not going to help him next week at Augusta when your short game's got to be dialed right in.
I mean, I want to see my FanDuel app on what his not to make the cut, because I don't. He was in the pool.
Right.
Austin Country Club.
Right.
There's no water on that hole. Yes, there is. Joe Smith's pool.
Who do you like next week?
Any I like favorites? DJ.
Months removed, and, you know, it's hard to repeat there, though. It's hard to repeat. It's only been
done
a few times.
It's been done a few times.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe he'll do it next year. He and Bryson or somebody else will get in. I mean, I haven't thought about it that much. I know you want to get it in there. I think I'll have more thoughts about it when we do our show next week with Dan. Dan Pohl's actually going to be calling us from Augusta next
that's
week.
Very cool.
Yeah. He's going back for the first time in a while.
I've got two guys that I like. I like Justin Thomas. I think if he's playing.
Yeah,
well,
he played great the other week. Yeah.
Yep. And I love Scottie Scheffler.
Okay.
I think he is the next, he's going to be the next Texan.
Okay.
In that slew of Texans who have been great on tour and great at Augusta. And
I wouldn't cut out Jordan. He's really turned his game around and he plays great there.
Yes, he does. And he's coming on right now.
You know, he's got a little bit of Ben Crenshaw in him.
He does.
You know?
Yes, he does.
So, Jordan, I think Jordan's got a better than average shot.
There's a history of Texans being successful at Augusta,
yeah.
And I don't think it's any coincidence. And I think Scottie Scheffler's the next guy. That dude can absolutely golf his ball.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, Kevin and I will discuss the rest of the PGA Tour schedule, the upcoming majors besides Augusta, and the relocated Ryder Cup. And what that team might be look like as they play at Whistling Straits when we return here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to you by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And joining us on the phone is one of the greatest golf teachers in the state of Michigan, Jason Gus from the Jason Golf Academy. Good morning, Jace. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. We're ready for spring golf and getting some instruction and tips. So it's great.
Well, I know it's always spring when the Tigers play, and I get to do this phone call. So I know it's officially spring today.
Nice. Well, hey, before we jump into things, I just want to give a big shout-out to you and the Jason Gus Golf Academy, along with our friends up here for the Boyne Golf Academy, for just getting recognized with Editor's Choice Awards from Golf Digest. So congratulations for that. Two best golf academies in the state.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, that to me, that goes back to – you know, the founders of Northern Michigan Golf, Harry Melling and all these people at Boyne that were so important to putting golf on the map, that gave me a place to start learning how to teach. So that award is, to me, it goes back to these founding fathers of Northern Michigan golf.
Yeah, they definitely laid the foundation for great things to happen up here, and golf academies, and what you and Joe Charles are doing up there at Boyne. You guys are doing great things. So it was exciting to see.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Are you already getting inundated with students and lessons and packages? Because that is the projection we're seeing all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. Even since last summer, you know, COVID's been kind of tough for everyone. But the beauty for golf professionals and golf courses is, you know, it's been the one thing you can kind of do. You can go outside. You can play golf. We're seeing a huge rise in new golfers. I have friends who are, you know, retail salespeople in the golf business, and they're having record sales the last year. So it's just been amazing to see golf get promoted and be busy again, albeit maybe not under the best circumstances, but you know, it's nice to see a lot of people playing golf again.
Are you seeing a lot of beginners and or maybe juniors calling you for lessons now?
Yeah, you know, a lot of beginners, a lot of people who played golf in the past and then maybe didn't play for a while because, you know, they didn't have time, or you know, their kids were doing other sports or things like that. Well, when all the other sports were shut down, you know, they kind of got back into it. And, you know, now we're seeing them be reinvigorated by the game again, wanting to get better and play more. So, you know, sometimes you can go away from something, and then when you come back to it, you forget, like, you know, how addicting this game can be. And I think that's what we're seeing a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things that you've been doing since you've been down in the Lansing area is a lot of juniors instructions. I know you had a lot of successful young ladies playing golf. So tell us a little bit about the successes you've had there.
Well, this past year was, it's pretty crazy. And even this spring, I had three players last year qualify to go to Augusta National. I had Allie Gear. She played in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And then the only two juniors from Michigan that are going to be at the Drive, Chip, and Putt Sunday, Lucas Bernstein and Kate Brody, are both students of mine. So last year was insane to have, you know, three kids qualify to play at Augusta National, which, you know, I don't know if I could ever thought I would be able to say that. That was pretty amazing.
That's fantastic. That's going on right now.
Right.
And I read an article yesterday, and it was a really good article. I believe it's Julie Williams, who writes for Golf Week, just talking about how this women's amateur, it's the toughest cut to make. Because they grind, they plan their schedule around this. This is like their biggest major in amateur golf right now that it's turning into for the women's side.
I can't believe you didn't avail yourself of your caddy skills, Jason.
Well, it's pretty interesting. Allie couldn't go last year because of COVID, and then she turned professional this year, so she actually missed out on her spot to do it. And then once again, because of COVID, I can't go watch my other two juniors in the Drive, Chip, and Putt this year. So it's been a little bittersweet for me to have them to be able to go, but not be able to go. It's been kind of tough.
That's all right, Jason. You know, one day they might be at Augusta National for another tournament where you might be able to get in and work with them on the range.
Well, it was funny because the last time I went to Augusta National, I've been twice. When I left, I said I wasn't coming back until I had a player, and I finally had them, and now I can't go back. Kind of a bummer.
Nice. That's great.
There's a very interesting article in the brand new Golf Digest about guys that have gotten on the golf course. And I don't know if you know the story, Jason, but I was supposed to play there when Cheryl was pregnant with Joe. And she tore her water 6 weeks early the day before I was supposed to go and play.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And we got her to the hospital. And the doctor checks her out and everything else. He goes, well, we're going to hospitalize her. She's going to be fine. The baby's not coming yet. We can't deliver the baby. It's too small. The lungs won't be developed. So we're going to bed rest your wife right here in the hospital and then, you know, grow the child and hopefully deliver on your delivery date. And I said, "Is great, so I could go to Augusta tomorrow." And Cheryl's like, no. And the doctor's like, you're going to play Augusta?
That's a good story.
And I didn't go, and I've never had the opportunity to play again. So whatever chance you get, Jace, Go.
I just want to know if you let Joe know about that several times in his
Cheryl
life.
Cheryl hears about it all the freaking time. So
I pray that no man has to make that choice. That's my comment.
Thank you. Well, I did. It's like so Jerry's choice as opposed to Sophie's choice. It wasn't Jerry's choice. It was Cheryl's choice. Right. So.
Hey, Jason, tell the listeners, where are you teaching nowadays? And where can they reach?
I'm teaching at Hawk Hollow in Lansing, Michigan, and I'm also teaching at Warwick Hills in Grand Blanc, Michigan. So I have two academies and have a couple of good instructors teaching underneath me. Chris Morey, who's a great teacher, one of the best young teachers in the state by Golf Digest, and then just hired my first female instructor, Lauren Strong, who also teaches at Forest Dunes. So if anyone can't get all the way down there, she's right up around the corner from them. So
that's
great. I've been pretty fortunate. I've got some good instructors and met some amazing facilities, and just ready to get the season going, even though we've been rocking and rolling all winter.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Warwick Hills, I mean, fabulous club. We were just talking earlier about, you know, in addition to the public golf courses rounds going up, we've been hearing so many great things about the private clubs. And, you know, one day, you know, years ago they were struggling, but their memberships are up, rounds are up. It's really cool to see.
Warwick Hills has done something amazing. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, they made a commitment to junior golf and sat down with the membership and said, hey, you know, if you guys want to grow your junior golf program and families and members, you're going to have to be okay with them playing golf out here. And they've grown their junior golf program to over 130 juniors, and the kids are playing golf every day. And it's pretty amazing what Doug Brody and Jen Brody have done down there at Warwick Hills.
Jason, we always like to have you on at the very beginning of the year, and I always ask the same question, but I think it's important to re-engineer or rethink what we're going to do as we start our golf season, especially here in the north where we don't get the chance to play through the year. So is there a drill or maybe some exercises that you might suggest to our listeners to start getting their game prepped for the season?
Well, I think it's only fitting, if we're going to talk about that this year, that everyone should have to get 8 protein shakes a day and flip some tractor tires over, right? I mean, isn't that what we got to do now with Bryson bombing
just ask
it out
Bryson.
There?
Yep.
It's Bryson's world. We're just living in it.
Right.
Yeah, right? Everyone's got to – I mean, if your back doesn't hurt when you're done playing, you're not swinging fast enough. That's the rule. No. You know, in all honesty, it's awesome to watch Bryson do what he's doing. And you know what? You can say whatever you want, but hitting the golf ball a little farther makes the game more fun. That's why I'm always for firmer fairways and, you know, people being able to hit wedges into greens more often. But, you know, the big thing I would say when you get out there is, you know, the first few rounds, don't kind of expect a whole lot. Work on your rhythm and your tempo and, you know, just kind of get a feel for your golf swing again. And then, you know, the big thing was, like I said, you've got Lauren Strong at Forest Dunes, you got Joe Charles up at Boyne, and if you want to make the trek down here to Lansing, go find someone who teaches golf and find one or two things that you would really like to procure this summer and get a couple good drills to kind of start working on that and slowly start trying to become a little bit of a better player.
Well, we know that you can make a lot of different people into better players. And so, Jason, once again, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you to improve their game and the game of their family.
Yeah, they can get a hold of me down here at Hawk Hollow. So you can go to our website at eagleeyegolfclub.com. You can give a call to Hawk Hollow at 517-641-4295. Obviously, you can go to my website, jasongusgolf.com. It is, I hope everyone can get out on the golf course and spend some time with their friends this year again. I know I can't wait to get up the treetops and play around at golf and go up to the Pine Squirrel and have a beer with all my friends and kind of get back to normal here.
Make sure to call us when you do.
Oh, you bet.
Jason Guss, thanks for joining us here on Finding Fairways, and good luck with your season as well. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com, Jerry Coyne and Kevin Frisch in studio. And Kev, before we get into the rest of the golf season and the other majors, one thing that occurred to me, I told you about that ESPN special where they showed the guys finally at the Champions Dinner.
Right, and a lot of behind the scenes stuff there.
Yeah,
with the tournament.
And so cool.
I missed it. I don't know how I missed it, but I've got to find that and watch it.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's got to be on their website. It'd be able to dug out. It's just, it's tremendous. You know, probably one of the most speculated upon events that happen in golf, you know, is
right.
What is that dinner like? And
yeah.
Even the guys, you know, you don't get a lot of information out of it. So seeing them allow the cameras in there and everything else, kudos to Augusta for doing it.
Yeah, I think that's really cool to kind of let that show that behind the scenes, which is something they're not accustomed to doing.
No, they're not.
They don't want anybody to know what goes on behind the scenes there. What would you serve at the Champions
Dinner? Oh, God. I don't know. Probably Italian. You caught me off guard.
That's okay. That's all right.
The one thing I would like is that access to the wine cellar, because they've got like Screaming Eagle. They got the best of all wines there. But just the other half of that quotient is that Tiger won't be at the Champions Dinner.
No, really unfortunate.
No,
and something that we didn't really touch on or talk about yet. And I mean, what a scary thing. And we don't have to get into all the what ifs or why
or
it happened
it or how happened it happened
and all
yeah.
that. But just
yeah.
the fact that, you know, in a year we could have lost two of the greatest sporting figures of our time, you know, with Kobe. And if something happened there with Tiger, that would have been just devastating.
Well, you know, and there's still a lot of speculation that, you know, you hear he has brain damage and, you know, and we'll never really know until he comes out and actually makes a public appearance, which you're probably sure he's not going to do until he can look
right.
like normal. We're not going to see Tiger out there with a cane and a big cast on his leg.
No, and you know, just we just hope we see him again and he can play golf with his kids.
I know,
and that's it. And you know what I think would be really cool is if he could be a captain, you know, a co-captain on the Ryder Cup, and at least be at Whistling Straits. I know that's a big ask, and it's 9 months from now or 8 months from now, but that would be something special. But
I mean, one of the cool things that happened in the early golf season was seeing him play with Charlie. You could tell how much delight they both got out of that. And if this car accident robs that of him not even being able to play in that, I don't think he's ever going to play tournament golf again.
No. I doubt it. Seriously, highly doubt it.
You know, we may see him play at Augusta if he thinks he can put up a score below 80.
Right.
But why would you? You know, we've been asking this question for a long time, and I understand, you know, he had his redemption. He won that Masters 2 years ago, but he's not going to catch Jack.
No.
So why does he need to play? Does he need more the money to continue to work for his sponsors?
No, not at all. He's given the game
everything he's got.
Everything that we would want.
Yeah.
I mean, if rewind to 1997, if somebody said he's going to win 15 majors, and I know they were going to, right out of the gate, they were comparing him to Jack, but, you know, I would have taken 15 majors and watched what he did. That was incredible. And he's given the industry and the game and everything that he's brought with the game with TV money. I mean, every player owes him. TV
yeah.
money wouldn't be where it is
no,
today
it's,
without him.
No, he's the second coming of Arnold Palmer as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, he's given all he needs to get. Let's just hope he can just get back on the course and play with Charlie and play with Sam and play with his kids and be able to do that stuff. That's all we want now.
Yeah.
And you know what else I want to see? I want to see him hitting the ceremonial tee shot in 20 years. So let's just,
he might be
let's
doing just... that sooner than that. How about Lee Elder? We didn't talk about
that's
that.
Fantastic.
Lee Elder becoming one of the honorary starters with Jack and Gary. That's another thing that I don't remember seeing the footage of that when we watched the Masters in November, but this Master special showed Jack and Gary hitting it. Jack didn't look great.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, you know, but they're all competitive and easy.
No, I know. I'm just saying, yeah. You know, I don't think Jack is, you know, Jack's got four more years left on the planet. But, you know, like when it got to Arnie for the last couple of years, he didn't look like he was going to go out and play the full nine holes, which is what they used to do.
They did. They used to do that.
And I remember when I met Arnold Palmer, I'd met him before. I know he, for well into his 70s, he had regular games at Bay Hill that he played with his guys. and he would play at Augusta when he got there. And then I saw him at this thing, what was it, 2012 at Oakland Hills when they inducted him into the Ring of Honor there. And after we had our picture taken, I asked him if he was still playing his regular game, and he said no. You know, and he died, you know, like 2 years after that.
You know what I thought was the coolest thing last fall for the Masters is that he had Barbara in the caddy outfit.
I couldn't agree with you more. I thought that was the coolest thing.
They couldn't bring anybody else in. They couldn't bring any of the grandkids in. And I know we used to take the grandkids to play the par three. And his one grandson made the hole in one. You know, just really cool stuff about that. And you just have to appreciate what he's done and everything. And it's awesome.
Yep. So where's the rest of the majors at this year?
So the PGA is at the Ocean Course.
Kiawah.
Ugh. And then they go to Torrey Pines.
Oh, that's
back
right.
Out west.
Yeah,
and
the
then,
Open.
Yeah.
And then
Royal St. George's.
You know, it's not a great rotation. I'm not a big fan of Torrey. I really not.
I think Torrey is the most overrated golf course on the ocean that
nope,
you'll ever
no
that
doubt
you'll
about
ever
it.
See.
I couldn't agree
if
more.
If you moved it inland 5 miles, it would just be another golf course.
Yeah, it's not even on the water.
No, it's not.
It's up on these cliffs, you know, and they just manufactured it into a way harder golf course.
That's Reese Jones.
Yeah.
That's the U.S. Open, the previous U.S. Open doctor. Now, what they need to do is bring in Gil Hans, who's been doing all these other renovations.
Yeah, he just got done doing Oakland Hills.
And they need to move, like the fifth hole closer to the cliff, the 12th hole closer to the cliff, and they need to do some different things, and they might be able to make it cool if it comes back there again. But I think the Ocean Course, it's going to be a big ballpark. And didn't Rory win it last time it was at?
Yes, that's where Rory won it. And in typical fashion, nobody else was close. He played great, and he won by six or something.
That's a place I would look out for Justin Thomas.
It's a hard golf course. If the wind blows there, it's as hard as any place there is in the world.
The long high ball player. Great long iron player, you know, to win there.
Yeah.
And then we got
Royal
the Ryder
St. George's. I can't think of anything about that golf course other than the fact that Norman won there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to be a typical dried out pride.
And the Ryder Cup back at Whistling, not back at Whistling Straits, for the first time in Whistling Straits, you and I have talked about this a number of times. I think this is a horrible choice for the Americans to hold a Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits because it's so much like a European golf course that it just hands the advantages over. Like, if they want to win the Ryder Cup, they should play Torrey Pines.
And also on Lake Michigan. End of September?
Yeah.
What kind of weather might we have?
I can tell you what kind of weather we're going to have.
Well,
I can't tell you what kind of golf season we're going to have, Kevin, but it's great to be back doing Finding Fairways again, and we will see you next month.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be back, and I'll have a few rounds, and I'm heading to Pinehurst in a couple weeks. So.
That's going to do it for us here on the inaugural edition to 2021 of Finding Fairways. Thanks to our good friends at Carl's Golf Land, as we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll see you next week. All right, it's time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Ken Griffin is on the line with me. And Ken, hard to believe that golf season is here, but we couldn't be more excited.
No, we sure couldn't. I mean, hard to believe what a year it's been. And remember, last year at this point, we weren't even sure if we were going to be open for the summer.
I remember some of those conversations, and it turned out to be a tremendous boon for the golf business to have all the pleasure of outdoor activities, and Boyne was certainly a great place to be.
Yeah, well, golf sure proved that in spite of the pandemic, that if you do things the right way, you can minimize risk with good practices, and golfers can get outside and enjoy the game they love. And we had a successful golf season, and we're also finishing up a successful winter.
Yeah, I got to imagine that the Highlands and Boyne Mountain were really busy this winter.
Yeah, it became the golf or the biking or the stand-up paddleboards of last summer. Getting outside this winter was really important for everybody as an escape, and the resorts certainly were very busy because of it. And, you know, this weekend's our final weekend of skiing at Boyne Mountain. Registration has been really strong for the Hemlock Open. It's that event that celebrates the end of ski season and the upcoming golf season. We're doing that on Saturday, two-person teams, really unique event. You combine the scores for two ski runs and a nine-hole golf scramble, and the winning score typically ends up high 60s, low 70s, so it kind of works.
I love that. It's so Northern Michigan. So when are the courses getting ready to open?
Well, we're on schedule for a late April opening for a few of the courses, and then we'll have all of them open over a two-week period. So by mid-May, we will have all 10 courses open.
And people can go online at boinggolf.com right now and book, right?
They can book tee times. They can book package information. And keep your eye out. If you're on our email list, you'll be receiving information on Masters, tee time, and golf packages this week. And if you're not on your email list, go to boinggolf.com and sign up to get our information.
Well, if they listened to this program last year, they should be on there. So we've got it all covered, Ken. I'm looking forward to spending all spring and summer talking about the great golf at boinggolf.com.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great talking to you. We look forward to a great summer.